What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ Merlin. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Hey, guys. My name is DJ Merlin. I'm from Queens, New York. Flushing, actually. And I'm super excited to be here.
Hey, man, we're excited to have you here as well. This is the My DJ Story podcast, so we want to hear your story as a DJ in the industry. So walk us through that journey, man. What sparked your interest to become a DJ, and kind of walk us through that journey from there on to where you are today?
Honestly, what sparked my interest in this was my cousin. My cousin, he used to DJ just like house parties and whatnot. And growing up, I was very attached to him. And he was an optician by trade, but, you know, he liked to dabble in the music business. And this is when, you know, Technique 1200s were the DJ tool. There was records, vinyl, needles that you had to take care of, crates of records, and it was just an awesome journey. And, you know, little by little, watching him DJ pretty much sparked my interest, how he would control the crowd, how his influence in the music industry would just generate, you know, just awesome parties, and the vibe was there, and it, from there, it just took off. He taught me how to DJ, and I owe everything that I've done, I pretty much owe it to my cousin.
Nice, man. That's a super exciting introduction, and shout out to your cousin for kind of showing you the ropes and sparking that interest where you kind of just hit the ground running from there, man. So walk us through, you know, after that initial introduction, where did you start your journey? You know, where did you get your first gig, and kind of walk us from that point on there?
So after practicing and, you know, failing a couple times, I hooked up with a group of people that were into the gothic scene, and I ran into circles that, you know, I'm not really too proud of, but, you know, they got me into these nightclubs. And when I first started was when the nightclub was on, they would do tryouts during the week where the club was not open to see if the DJ could move the dance floor. They'd have the audio engineer there, they have the manager, the production manager, stage manager, and the owner of the club there. And it's pretty much like America's Got Talent type of interview. You go there for a 30 minute set, and pretty much, you know, whether they liked it or not, could influence you to be on their flyer. And that's how you got your exposure. And I actually got my first big break in 1999, DJing at the Limelight, old New York City nightclub that was officially a church. And it was bought by Peter Gation, which was a Canadian club promoter. And he turned it into a super duper exclusive elite nightclub. And I got my first big break there.
Wow, man. That's super exciting. You must have did really well at the interview.
I'm going to be quite honest. I bombed a couple of interviews, and I got in just, let's just say I was very lucky. That's all. I didn't blow anybody away by my performance. It was just, I knew somebody that had a hook inside. They were like, give this kid a try. And, you know, trials and tribulations, my brother. And it was... It's been an experience. I could just say that.
Hey, man, I know that's one thing. Just who you know is super important as well. And someone saw something special in you and were able to vouch for you and to give you that shot. And I'm sure that you didn't blow it. And you kind of just took that initial intro to the game and that opportunity and let it be, you know, what got you further along in your journey. You know, after that experience at this popular club, you know, what happened next and where did your story go from there?
Well, after I DJed there, I didn't get a call back for like maybe, I say, 6 months. And then it turned out where I was club hopping, and I ended up DJing in all the nightclubs that he owned. So there was Sound Factory, there was the Palladium, there was the Limelight, there was the Tunnel, which was primarily hip hop nights. And every night was like a different genre I would have to spin. And I started getting, I guess a little bit well known within the community. And from there on, I just really dedicated myself to trying to master my craft, looking at these headline DJs and doing what they do. And sure as right as rain, I got my one big opportunity to DJ at a festival, EDC. When they came to New York and they were at Citi Field, I did one of their small stages, and it was nerve-wracking to say the least, but an experience all the same. It was great.
Wow, man. That's super exciting, man. It seems like you have this really organic journey where you kind of just work hard and the opportunity just pops up and you take advantage of it. And I think that's super important, where even when you don't know what that next move is going to be, just keep on working hard and have that motivation to keep going forward, and opportunities will find you as long as you continue putting yourself out there and believing in yourself. And it seems like that you've believed in yourself and a lot of magic has happened. So congratulations on your success.
Thank you. It's been a hard road.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of ups and downs in all journeys, but it seems like you're able to take the downs and really use it to be stepping stones to your success. So it's super important for DJs to know, never give up. You'll be able to really make it through those tough times and be what allows you to, you know, deserve the opportunity to get into those success stages. So tell me a little bit about, you know, what the last leg of your journey has been like and kind of what your plans for the future.
Well, I'm still basically in the middle of my journey. I've achieved everything I wanted to achieve DJ wise. So I moved into the music production side of it now. And, you know, I've sent out my demos to a lot of record agencies, a lot of record labels, and, you know, some of them replied with, you know, you need some work. And I'm not going to say I'm going to be a master producer. I'm still very novice in this whole music production thing. But I owe a lot of my success to No Face Records. No Face Records have given me the opportunity to explore the artist side and the production side. And they've been very patient with me. I've been in their artist development academy. And I've learned more than most people would learn in a lifetime. And it's a community of just awesome, awesome guys. I mean, you have people like the CEO, Max Vangeli. He's awesome. You know, the man has had his share of success, and now he wants to bring that experience to everyone else. He wants to see everybody else move up. And you don't get that with a lot of people that have record labels. They just, you know, they try to sign you to a bogus contract and, you know, give you very minimal royalties and just exploit you for whatever it is. And, you know, they kick you to the side, and Max doesn't do that. Max is he's the polar opposite of that. We look at this man and it's like, you know, I'm super grateful to be with No Face Records, and the opportunities they give is just, it's just phenomenal. It's just phenomenal.
Wow, man. It seems like you time and time again always find the right people to be around you to kind of find the things that you can be able to jump into and provide you an opportunity. You know, what ways or what things did you do to kind of attract those people to be able to find these people that were able to kind of put you into the right spaces?
Well, what I try to do is, a lot of it is YouTube. Believe it or not, I see a lot of these big artists, especially now with this pandemic, a lot of live streaming has been the major goal of some of these big, big headliners that now cannot perform in front of thousands of people because of the pandemic. So let's reach those millions of people live streaming. And I see how they do it. And what bothers me is these guys, they don't take the time out to help the person that wants to be in their shoes. You know, it's the person that wants to be in your shoes that possibly helped you get to the platform that you're in. And what I try to do, especially with a lot of guys from No Face or whatnot that are in, they're starting to DJ, I try to tell them, you guys know the production side of it. I know the DJ side of it. I've been doing this for over 30 years. More than happy, open up my doors to you. We go down to my basement and I'll help you DJ. I'll give you pro tips. I'll show you different tricks on how to motivate a crowd, different things that you could do. And now with the software, it makes it a lot easier to be much more creative than when I started. I mean, turntables to, you know, digital formats now, it's day and night. But I try to give back when I didn't have that. And I want to share my knowledge with the world. Whoever is interested in knowing, more than happy to do that.
Awesome, man. Well, you're on the right podcast to do that. We love to use your story to help others. So what we're going to do is to jump into a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to talk about some of those lessons that you have for people so they can be better within their DJ journey, okay?
Awesome.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. I'm here with my brother DJ Merlin, and he has an amazing story of telling his journey within the industry, where he was just getting opportunity after opportunity from being in the right spaces and knowing the right people and just showcasing his talents. Now I want him to dive deeper into some of the learning lessons that he's learned throughout this journey, some things that can help DJs figure out how they can take those next steps into progressing in their business and in their journey as a DJ. So talk to me about some of the secrets or the hacks or just some of the things that you've done that got you into these spaces and kind of really helped you elevate yourself as a DJ.
A lot of it is networking and branding yourself and taking all the failures and taking that and running with them. I mean, I can't say this enough, and people take failures differently. They handle rejection differently. But if you're rejected and you're DJing, you got to take that rejection and turn it around, make you a better DJ. Some people may not like a scratch DJ. Some people may not like a blend DJ or a cut DJ. You know, some people are looking for a wedding DJ and you're a club DJ. You have to be adaptive. You have to adapt to your surroundings and take all the rejections and use that. You have to use that in order to make yourself better. And once you've mastered that, the next step would just be networking. Put yourself out there. I mean, pimp yourself out if you can. I mean, nowadays, again, when I started, it was super, super, super hard. You had to go out to the clubs. You had to hand out flyers. You had to basically be the promoter's gopher, all right, just to get a little bit of recognition. Nowadays, you have social media, these platforms and applications. They put you out there in an instant. Same way they, you know, you'll show up on somebody's YouTube video as a party going, next thing you know, you're headlining. You know, you really have to take that and run with it. You have to brand yourself. Take all the rejections, take all the suggestions, and use that. Don't play for yourself. That is the number one rule. A lot of DJs want to play the stuff they like to listen to while they're going to work on their headphones. You got to play for the crowd, right? If you got to do a party and they want Frank Sinatra all night, guess what you're going to be mixing? Frank Sinatra. They don't want mainstream. They want the 1940s. And you got to, again, be adaptive.
That's really great advice, man. And it just kind of shows the fundamental of what you need to be successful in the DJ career. You know, one, you got to be good. You got to know how to serve your crowd. But two, you have to put yourself out there and network. Just like you said, you know, it's really important that you're always out there building relationships and not just networking for the sake of networking, because a lot of people can know who you are, but if you're not building meaningful relationships with people, you know, it won't really translate to you elevating or moving forward with your career. You know, I would love to hear, you know, what are some things that you've done with your brand? You know, you spoke to us about also the importance of branding. You know, your name is DJ Merlin. What does that name mean to you, and how'd you go about selecting the name for yourself, or how'd you get that name?
That name came on a drunk night. So again, I was with my cousin, and initially I was never really called DJ Merlin. I was, because I'm short, I was called DJ Shorty Rock. And that lasted for like about a month or so. So we went out to this party and I did something on these turntables that nobody has seen. I put a roll of duct tape in the middle. I turned the needle upside down. I played a record backwards in a mix. And everybody's like, oh my God, this kid is like a wizard. And that kind of stuck with me. And I'm like, what? Can I call myself DJ Wizard, DJ Sorcerer, you know? And I started dabbling with the names. And then I looked and Merlin came up and I'm like, the wizard with the mix. That's it, Merlin. That's how pretty much I got the name.
I love it, man. No, that's super fitting. And it came up in a very interesting way. You're super innovative and almost like wizardry, just being able to mix in a very unique way. You know, I love that story. Do you have any other like unique things that you've done on the set or just mixing that was kind of more so with that kind of theme of being DJ Merlin? You know, I love to hear any more things that you've done that kind of really stood out or very unique, just like that story. Is there any other things that you could have to share?
I have done certain parties where I was doing more than just DJing. So when lighting first came out, I synced my lighting without DMX and synced my lighting to my mix. And I was doing both. I was doing the light guy stuff and the DJ stuff. And this is way before any software came out for it, like Light Switch and Sound Switch and everything like that, or DMX. I would always try to innovate myself. I would always try to reinvent how I normally DJ. And especially when laptops first started to come through with the software, anybody with a laptop honestly could be called a DJ. So what do you have that the next person that has a MacBook has? You know, what can you do? What art can you bring? Because this is, for me, it's artwork. It's not just playing music. It's more of a creative standpoint. What can I do to secure that gig? And I will have to try find different ways in order to secure it. So whether it was lighting, atmosphere, creating a theme at a party where they just hired you just to play music, and now you're walking in and it's like you walked into the Death Star, or you walked into, you know, a haunted mansion, and now there's, you know, it's you got to do things that are fitting for the theme.
Yeah, that's pretty dope. I think that you bring a full experience. You're not just playing music, but you really are thinking about how can I put these people on a journey to really feel an experience in so many different ways, whether it be the music, the lighting, just the way that you're storytelling with your music. I think that you've really figured out how to bring much more than the simple song player. And I think that you really just took that on its head and really made a name for yourself as DJ Merlin, being a wizard at this craft. So I think that's super amazing that you're able to do that. You know, what are some things that you're able to kind of overcome throughout this journey? You know, a lot of people start DJing and they think it's cool. You know, they want to be a superstar, but a lot of people do not make it very far in this industry because they give up. And there's been ups and downs on every journey. I would love to hear, you know, what are some of the things that were tough for you throughout your journey, and how did you make it out, and how other DJs can use that to get out of their tough situations as well?
Well, 9 out of 10 times, you got to have a support, and your support system is your family. My family is super supportive. My wife, super supportive. Friends, you got to have that support system, because there's a lot of rejection in this. A lot of rejection. Why should I pay you $10,000 to go play at a rave when I could get Joe Schmo over here that just wants the exposure and save that money? You know, so these rejections, again, you got to take that rejection and you got to build it. You got to build it into something positive. Don't let nobody tear you down. No one's going to tear you down. They may try, but you got to take that and you got to use that into a positive experience and into turning yourself into a better DJ. And like I said, your support system has to be your fundamental. That's your backbone right there. Once you have that, DJing is, again, I like to engage with people. When I play my parties, I include the people. They're not just there to dance. I try to include them in everything, in every aspect. And that's what people need to do.
Wonderful, man. No, I really like that. I think that's super important that you're really a servant to the people you're performing for. And you're not just doing it just to do it. You're really doing it because you care about them and want them to have a great experience. And when you have that mindset of being a servant and helping other people through what you do in your profession, you can really do a great job at making them feel great and special about what you're providing for them. I really love that, man. It seems like you have a great heart. It seems like you really enjoy what you do. And that kind of shows just through the way that you have gone about your journey. You know, what's something that you think is important for you going forward to be doing and focusing your time on as a DJ, especially how the game has completely shifted in regards to where we're at? You know, what are some things that you are focused on and how and other DJs should be focused on going forward?
Well, the main focus now would be not exploiting, but utilizing the internet to get yourself out there. Start streaming. If you can, try to make your space that you're DJing in a little bit more inviting. So lights, you know, it's a little expensive. It's an expensive hobby. Not everybody has the resources, you know, that the people have. But if you could do it like some of these headliners, you'll get a lot further doing the stream thing.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And I think the subtle differences, the aesthetics of your stream can really make a difference, because there's thousands of people streaming, thousands of people doing this. What are you going to do to stand out and really build a name for yourself in this time and beyond? Because once we get back to normal, people are going to remember you know, who they were rocking with throughout this pandemic and throughout this different time in DJing. So by building a name for yourself now, you're really positioning yourself to do well as we get back to some type of new normalcy. So I'm glad that you gave that advice. And I think that that's kind of our focus with the club. You know, we're a live streaming app and we want to help people make more money, build their brand via live stream. We think it's an awesome technology that can be utilized to help you, but you got to put in the work. If you don't put in the work, then you might get left behind and have to pretty much start anew as we get back to in-person events and stuff like that, man. What are some things that you're excited about within the DJ industry? Are there any like new technologies or any new things that are just kind of booming right now within the industry that people are talking about?
Well, basically like the new technologies that are coming out with mixers, standalone mixers, some of the clubs are starting to shift from the old format to the new format, which is great because now some of the clubs are doing the live stream. You know, a lot of these places, they didn't want that because they felt you're not buying a ticket to come into my club. Therefore, I'm not going to give you a freebie of who's playing by streaming it. But now they're seeing that, you know, for 15 months, everything was shut down. And a lot of people are not going to come back from this, you know, and they have to utilize the internet. And I'm very excited. Just looking at the brand that I use, Pioneer, not sponsoring anybody, but the equipment that I use, they're very innovative. And I like the direction where they're going. They're making it much more user-friendly for the new guys coming in, as well as the pros that are still utilizing it. I'm super excited.
That's great, man. I think that, you know, the industry is really moving forward with technology and implementing live stream in different ways. It's a cool way to kind of have a global reach, you know, doing the same amount of work that you would be doing otherwise. So I'm super bullish on live stream and think that, you know, all DJs should be looking into how can you leverage this new technology and stay up to date with the time, because things are moving forward and we wanted you to move forward with us. And you want to make sure that you're staying on top of the new technologies and just being relevant in all aspects of DJing, man. But great advice, man. I'm really excited just to hear everything that you've been up to. Do you have any parting piece of advice for DJs out there that are looking to step up their game and take their game to the next level before we jump into our lightning round?
If they want, they have to know music. And do you just want to be called a DJ or you want to be called an artist? There's a lot of people don't know the difference. An artist is somebody that creates the music that somebody else is going to end up playing for them. So if you could utilize that format of being able to play music and then creating your own music, you're way above the game.
Awesome advice, brother. At this time, we're going to jump to the lightning round. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
Software-wise, I was using Serato and Rekordbox. I have a Pioneer XDJ, XZ, standalone mixer. I have two CDJs, DJM 900. I have lights, intimidator lights. I have lasers. I have smoke. I have bubbles. You know, I just have the whole shebang. I have a club in my basement, pretty much.
Who's your favorite DJ?
God, that's a tough one. My favorite DJ is the DJ that got me into the genre that I like to spin right now, and his name is Brennan Hart. He made this one track called LSD. And I thought it was like drug induced, but it stood for love, sadness, and desire. And I listened to that, and it just, ever since then, I've been DJing in that genre.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at, and what made it special?
The Limelight, my first big break. What made it special is I'm DJing in a church, and everybody's all decked out in gothic and vampire wear. And the experience of moving 400 people to the music that I was spinning, to the way I like to spin it, it was euphoric.
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one because a lot of these places closed down. Any clubs, Webster Hall, I've DJed there and it's still up. It's one of the very few clubs that are still standing. Stage 48. And my long lost home, Sound Factory, which turned into Pasha, which closed down. But that's pretty much it. Everything now in New York City is, I guess, like hookah lounges, and you just gotta wait for these big festivals to come through.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
The connection to people. It's not just, you know, I set up my iPhone and, you know, record and put it on Instagram and try to play non-copyright music. It's, you have to engage the crowd. have these people tell me what to play.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally, whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
I want to shout out everybody at Norfolk Records. Guys are awesome. Community is just TiVo. I got Imagine More. I mean, the list goes on. There's about 150 people I can't name. Just no face people. I love you guys. Max Vangeli, I love you guys. The Tweakins. Very famous hardstyle duo. Love these guys. They're the ones that got me into the YouTube streaming thing because they have a weekly show on YouTube and I'm trying to do exactly what they're doing. How they reach the crowd. So shout out to the Tweakins. Brennan Hart, love you. No face. In the club. In the club. You guys are awesome. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Awesome, man. We look forward to hearing their stories on the show one day and appreciate the shout out. And any DJ wants to be on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
In person, I guess I will have to like post up things on Facebook, but you can follow me on Facebook, DJ Merlin Immortalis, Instagram, DJ Merlin. And the way it's spelled is DJAY. So it's D and then J, then Merlin. Twitter, the same way. On pretty much everybody's social media aspect. That's pretty much it.
No awesome, faith. Brother. Hey, man, we appreciate you sharing your story on this podcast. I know a lot of people are going to get a lot of value out of this. I got a lot of value of it. So thank you so much for sharing and spending time with us today. Everyone, please check out my brother, DJ Merlin. He's really doing it in the Queens area in New York, in Flushing, New York. And I'm super excited to be following you on your journey going on from here. So thank you so much, brother. And we look forward to seeing you in the club.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. You guys are awesome.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.